clothes, and they will be all branded. You know, all branded. As a,
I never been in a city.
And you thought, wow, really branded clothes for this price, right? And then I know
this is Abibas, Poma.
I know this, right? But this is not Abibas, Poma. This is really Adidas, right? They are so excited. And you know, they convinced me they are actually legitimate pieces, some small stitches, you know, here and there are gone. So you're getting for the best price. That's how they. But my friends who know all the stuff, they said, hey, no, this is not the branded one. This is fake. You know? And India and China, we are very good in comfort, making things fake, right? And even in the church, there are fake preachers, fake pastors, false teachers. And today's text teaches about this. It's okay if you buy Abibas and Poma, but if you are sitting under a false teacher, it's so dangerous that it can, it's like taking the false, fake medicine. Okay? So with that said, we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Today's portion is chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. So I read from ESV version. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 3 to 5, it says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicion, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. That's our scripture portion today. This is something very serious. If you remember, the reason Paul left Timothy there, he says in chapter 1, I urged you, when I was going to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, stay there, so that you may charge such a person not to teach in a different doctrine. When he starts the epistle, if you are familiar with Paul's epistles, usually after greetings, he thanks or mentions about the prayers that he's praying. But here in 1 Timothy, first importance Paul uses to remind him of his job, to confront certain false teachers, to not teach these false teachers. However, I want you to come back and look at the big picture of this 1 Timothy. What is the reason? Why did Paul write this epistle? In chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, we see the purpose of this epistle. Paul says, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. So by this verse, it is clear. Paul's burden in writing this epistle is one thing, the conduct of the church. But if you ask Paul, what is the conduct that you are expecting? He says it's one word, it's godliness. In verse 16, great indeed we confess the mystery of godliness, that's Christ. But the conduct is godliness. And that's why you see in 1 Timothy this word godliness repeated. However, the godliness that Paul is mentioning, and the godliness comes only through Christ. And that's why he says, we are all a church. We are the church because we confess the mystery of godliness. And what is that mystery? That's Christ. Because through Christ, we are saved and we are sanctified, being sanctified. So he says, mystery of godliness is, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels. This is talking about Christ. This is what happened to us. And these false teachers, unlike Paul, they are teaching godliness is not through Christ. But how? Chapter 4. The Spirit explicitly says that later time some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirit and teachings of demons, to the insanity of liars whose conscience are seen. What? How do we achieve godliness? How can a person be saved? who for, by forbidding marriage, their teaching is this, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from the foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving. So we can see there are false teachers teaching godliness not through Christ, but through works. That's a dangerous teaching. But godliness is the conduct of the church. And these false teachers are not taking this command to be godly seriously. And this is one thing to remember. If you read through New Testament, you will see false teachers and false teaching is a serious problem. We are studying Colossians, right? In our love, we just finished. But Colossians, it was written because of the false teaching. To read 1 John was also written because of the false teaching. You can go through Peter's epistles, 2 Peter, false teachers, Jude, false teachers. So you see whole New Testament addressing this aspect, false teaching and false teachers. It's a danger to the church. Paul, when he was ministering this church, where Timothy now is pastoring in Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says, pay careful attention to yourself and to the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. You see, from the church, the group itself will come. And as Paul prophesied, we have seen from 1 Timothy chapter 1, false teachers came. They were teaching different strange doctrines, devoting themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Chapter 4, we have read again, he said, demonic teachings are disturbing the church. And chapter 6, verse 3, even in this current scripture portion, there are false teachers disturbing the church, and Paul is addressing them. And so we can see that this is a serious issue. Paul is repeating as he writes this epistle. And chapter 6, verse 3, as he says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine that is not consistent with the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's such different doctrine, strange doctrine, that is false doctrine. And this is so serious. If you remember Paul writing to Galatians, this verse he said. He said, even if we, which means Paul who preached the gospel, or an angel from heaven comes and preaches some other gospel, let him be accursed. So if anybody, it could be anybody, it could be even Paul, if he preaches a wrong gospel, a gospel, there is only one gospel, but gospel contrary to what he already preached, then let him be accursed, he says. You see the seriousness? And so, anybody who teaches, no matter what their position is in the church, if they teach a different doctrine, there should be a curse. It's a serious issue. And we'll see today what about this false teacher? What is their teaching? What is their character? What is the fruit when they teach all these three things? So today we're going to look at the false teachers and their nature from this scripture portions, and we'll see three traits of a false teacher to identify them. And first one, we find it in chapter 6, verse 3, as he starts, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree to the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not agree with the sound words of Lord Jesus Christ. He lacks respect towards the authority, primarily. This verse primarily teaches about the person himself and his teaching. He is a person who does not respect the authority that is placed in his life. We see him, first of all, teaching a different doctrine, a teaching that is not consistent with the teaching of apostles, and he also does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which means he does not agree with the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, he disregards Jesus Christ, and he also says towards the end, and the teaching that accords with godliness. He disagrees with the teaching that accords with godliness. So he rejects godliness as well. He is a man who rejects the authority of godly leaders, their teaching, godly truth from the scriptures, and also God himself, Jesus Christ himself. This man is a man who rejects authority in life. And you might be thinking this is not that serious problem, right? If someone is rejecting the authority. But if you see this rebellion always connected to Satan. In Jude chapter 1 verse 6, talking about false angels, compares with the angels. He says, the angels who did not stay with their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. In other words, what happened in the heaven is, these angels rebelled against God, the kind of instruction, and then they desire for more and more power than what God has given, and receive the judgment of God. And that's what is happening with the false teachers here in Ephesus also. You will see this consistency with all the false teachers. When John wrote third epistle, he talked about this person who is named Diotrephus. Diotrephus, he wants to be first. So when John wrote the epistle, because he likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge his authority. And John says, when I come, I'll deal with him. This is the problem with all the false teachers. They don't acknowledge the authority. If you remember, even in the Old Testament, look at Numbers chapter 16. If you know the context, Korah, the family that rebelled against Moses, against Moses and Aaron. What did they say? Numbers chapter 16 verse 3, it says, they assembled themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said to them, you have gone too far. Why? For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. And why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of God? That's where their question. They rebelled against Moses and questioning Moses, why do you exalt yourself? You know? And who are these people? They are not some rebellious people outside of the church, or there's no church, then God's people. In verse 2 of chapter 16, Numbers, these are the people who are chiefs. Who are these people? It reads, Numbers 16:2, and they rose up before Moses with the number of people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation, chosen from the assembly. They are from the nation Israel, God's people, and 250 chiefs. And what's their logic? Everyone is holy in this congregation of Israel, they say. And is there a point? Yes. God himself in Exodus 19 said, you are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. See, God himself said. So we are all king, we are all priests, we are all holy. That's what their argument was. But is this really true? If you see, Levites are called to minister to God, but only the family of Aaron are the ones who are priests. And so these people are rebelling against God. And if you read the number 16, you will know the earth opened and swallowed them out of judgment. You see? God has placed us on this earth, and there are authorities in our lives, and we have to submit. Mother over children, father over home, you know, we are under the law of this land, our leaders, pastors or the congregation as a whole under Christ the head.
However, false teachers, they reject authority. And this is so important for all the families, you know, for all the parents, to teach your children from the beginning, hierarchy. It is so important, you know. If a family which does not have hierarchy is a family that is welcoming this satanic rebellion in their lives, this is dangerous. If a church doesn't practice this hierarchy, we are welcoming again Korah's rebellion into people's heart. We need to teach the hierarchy. And everyone are equal, yes and amen. But the roles are different. You should be able to teach that to your children. We should be able to accept the truth, and even in the church we should practice that. And so they reject the authority. What specifically, what authority specifically this verse addresses? Number one, it says that they teach different doctrine. They do not agree with the sound words. This word, sound words, literally you can say healthy words or health-giving words. So they are teaching different doctrine that doesn't produce health. So they're producing sickness. False teachers reject the authority of scriptures. They do not agree with the sound words, and these sound words are words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they do not agree with the scriptures. False teacher. He has his own plans for the church. Now, what are we seeing from this epistle? Paul is talking about the conduct of the church. How pulpit should be free from false teaching. How pulpit should be pure. Second chapter, he talked about men should be holy and praying. Women should be submitting and then, you know, being godly in their, being submissive in their own roles. And chapter 3, godly elders, you know, elders whose conduct is Christ-like, deacons, Christ-like. And chapter 4, again, to be a good servant. This is all teaching of God through Paul about the church, but false teachers have different plans for the church. Different ideas about godliness. They've got their own values, and none of it is consistent with the scriptures and consistent with the teaching of Christ. Now, you may think these kind of people don't exist. It may be a far-fetched idea, but this truth is so relevant today. Most church gurus have strategies. Probably you might not much looked into, but there will be people who will talk about church growth. How many people are coming to your church? Oh, just 60? You know, you should do this to get numbers. Church growth, this is the strategy. Many church gurus are like that. Do a survey in your area and look what people need, and then you address that, then you will have a large church. Today, church want to be more relevant. They don't want church to be godly. They want to be relevant. Today, churches want to be influential, not godly. And this is there in this world. Probably you might have come from that kind of churches. While the people in the world or worldly pastors seeking church numbers, Paul commands to us, as he commands Timothy, to be godly. If you still doubt, you know, you can look into Google and check with, or go to any church, talk to any pastor, talk about some difficult passage. Since we are in 1 Timothy, ask about women leadership, women pastors. From 1 Timothy chapter 2, they will say, Paul actually commanded in that particular context, now it doesn't apply. How dare are we? This is the word of God. And how dare are we to say this is not relevant now? This is God's word. And you have to let the word of God have authority on you. You need to submit yourself to God's word. I need to submit to God's word. We all need to submit to God's word. Bible is clear. 1 Corinthians 14:37 and 38. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. That's amazing. The authority Paul is placing. You want to know who is the prophet of God? He should acknowledge with the scriptures that I am writing. If he doesn't acknowledge, don't acknowledge him. He is not a prophet. That's what Paul is saying. John said that in 1 John 4:6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and spirit of error. If someone doesn't agree with the scriptures, he is the spirit of error. And this is so dangerous. This is satanic. This is demonic. If you are sitting under a false teacher, you are being influenced by satanic teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, what did he say? People will devote themselves to deceitful spirit and teachings of demons. False teachers are influenced by satanic demons. This is not my words, these are words of Christ. So if even after preaching someone, if you have anything, reconcile with God's word, reconcile with God. Okay? If you have doubts exegetically, you have doubts in the scripture, I am ready to explain. Okay. But this is what God's word says. You know, a false teacher, he lacks respect towards authority, lacks expositionist teachings, and he disregards Lord. This is consistent again. Again, this is extreme, you know, saying that he is a preacher of Christ and does not honor Christ. What foolishness is this? 2 Peter 1:21 and 2:1. I'll read these two verses. He says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Heresies are destructive, even denying the master. Denying the master is something that these false teachers do. Jude 4, actually, he uses the same word. He says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. They deny Lord Jesus. By denying scriptures, you are denying Lord Jesus Christ's authority in your life. Have you ever heard, this is very serious, you might consider, but you might have heard this saying, you know, doctrine, don't worry about doctrine. Doctrine doesn't matter. Love is important. Unity is important. Right? Let's all come together. I know you don't believe in the you know, work of Christ for salvation. I know you don't believe in the deity of Christ, but let's all come together, you know. Let's all pray together. Let's have this revival. Unity is important. Let's not talk about doctrine. You might have heard this, right? And it sounds so loving, you know. That's the popular cry in the Christianity. Let's not love the doctrine. Let's love one another. But the main problem is, Jesus does not agree with us who actually commanded to love one another. You know what Jesus said in Luke 20? If you read Luke 20, 27 to 40, I'll give you the context. There were people, religious leaders actually, Sadducees, who denied the doctrine of resurrection and all. And they were coming and asking questions about this doctrine. You know what Jesus said? Repeatedly, if you go into Mark chapter 12, parallel passage for this, repeatedly, twice he said, you are greatly mistaken. You are so wrong. Jesus is actually teaching them. He didn't say, Sadducees, it's okay. We both are Jews. We both believe in Yahweh. I know you don't agree in the resurrection. That is afterlife. Who went and saw? So let's not fight over this doctrine of resurrection which we didn't see. Let's love one another. Let's all meet and pray. Let's love. He didn't say. He said twice, you are greatly mistaken. You are so wrong. He forcefully refuted the doctrinal error. He taught them the true teaching. Apparently, sound doctrine mattered to Jesus Christ. It mattered. It mattered because only through the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ, a person can be reconciled with God. Only through the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ, a person can receive forgiveness. It matters. It should matter to us also. He disregards our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus' teaching, and he rejects godliness as well. He says he teaches different doctrine, that is rejecting the sound words, that word of God, rejecting Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting godliness, disagreeing with the teaching that accords with godliness. The idea is false doctrine that is being taught here by the false teachers is not promoting godliness actually or God-honoring lifestyle. So, if you heard of this saying, you are what you eat, Paul is saying you are what you taught. If you are listening to false teaching, you know, and then you will also be led in the false way. Unholy teaching will produce unholy lives. The ultimate test for the false teacher, as he rightly points out, is that his character. If you notice, Paul gives the tool by which we can test the sound teaching of the Bible study. If they are godly living or not. You know, according to that we can see. If anyone's teaching is leading towards godliness, Christ-likeness, that's a godly preacher. If anyone's teaching leading to unholy life, then that's a false teacher. Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 7, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been found on the rock. If someone living according to the scriptures, sound words of Christ, their lives will be godly and they will stand. But if they don't follow sound words of Lord Jesus Christ, his teaching, their lives will be ruined. So how serious we should be towards this false teaching and false teachers? As much as you care for your life, you know. And secondly, second trait of the false teacher is he lacks humility. Verse 4, he lacks humility. Look at verse 4. He's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. Now, verse 3 primarily talked about the doctrine of the person. Verse 4 talks about the nature of the person itself. He lacks humility in life. He's puffed up. Moses was called the humblest man on the earth. Christ was characterized as a humble person. But here we see these false teachers are puffed up. And this word puffed up with conceit, which it has that conceit, this word has roots from the word smoke actually. So literally they are covered, you know, they are wrapped with the smoke, full of hot air, nothing. There's no substance actually. Blowing smoke, full of hot air. They are like Satan who are consumed by themselves and their ideas. They want to exalt themselves. They want to boast in their own merits, like Satan. And they are puffed up. They exalt themselves before others. They don't exalt Christ. It's opposite. You might have seen people boasting about spiritual experiences. I came across. It's so funny, but at the same time sad. I didn't know what to do. Should I laugh or should I cry? I didn't know. I was listening to, not intentionally. I was not listening to that person. Someone critiquing and played the video. His name is Jesse. I don't remember his name also. A little difficult to pronounce. I don't want to give wrong name. Something Jesse. He was talking about his spiritual experience. He went to heaven. He went to heaven and met Paul. And Paul said, "Welcome, Jesse. You know, glad you could come to my home." And said, yeah, this is nice home, but you should see your home. Jesus, by his own hands, built your home." Said it. So what about Moses? Paul's house also was not built by Jesus' hands, but this man's house is built by Jesus. It's his own hands, it seems. And then he get a tour to the throne room of God. He get to visit the throne room of God, and he saw babies flying with the gowns. And yes, what is this? That's God's thoughts. God's thoughts. And then there is a horse talk, thinking in the head, saying, "Hey, Jesse, glad you could come to heaven." And Jesse, this pastor, thinks, you know, in mind only he could hear, and then he could answer. Heaven is happy that this man came, it seems. What's wrong with this narcissistic, I don't want to use bad words, but what is this fellow talking? And there are educated people sitting in the pew and enjoying. How full. Remember, counterfeits, we are talking about counterfeits beginning. As people are getting smarter, people are making counterfeits. Edited Abibas and Poma say they're making so close. They're getting smarter. But whereas here, counterfeits are getting so dumb, but people are blinded. They're following this people. How foolish they are. How depraved in their mind. Paul, in contrast, he used even his spiritual experience as a third person. And he himself said, I'm being foolish. But I have to say, if I have something to boast, I have so many experiences. They don't care about their lives in the pew. Narcissistic people. They boast. God spoke to me, brother. God spoke to me. I tell you this. It's difficult to reach those pastors, so-called pastors. Why? Because they are so great, you can't approach them. They are arrogant people. He lacks humility. He's arrogant. William Barclay makes excellent comment on the pride. He says, his first characteristic is conceit, talking about false teacher. His first aim is self-display. His desire is not to display Christ, but to display himself. There are still preachers and teachers who are more concerned to gain a following for themselves than for Jesus Christ. They are more concerned to press their own views upon people than they are to bring to men the word of God. God fights against the proud, but gives grace to the humble. False teacher is arrogant, and he wants to glorify himself, not Christ. He seeks his own following, not Lord's following. And he understands nothing, he says. He's puffed up, and he understands nothing. Remember in the Old Testament, if you read through Old Testament, there are prophets who will come and say, God will give you deliverance, God will give you. And Jeremiah comes and puffs, no. And people want, with the itching ears, will want to listen to this kind of prophets who will preach peace. God, no problem, you know. they assured that Babylon will not touch them. False prophets. They don't know what they are saying. They have no clue. But they have prophecy. Prophecy that Babylon, you know, will not take you. He understands nothing. But they speak. 2 Peter 2:18 and 19, Peter also says, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. You see, false teachers are also like that. They don't know what they are preaching. They themselves are slaves, but they preach freedom. He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. And he has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels. I heard there was a Sunday school teacher who was like 30 minutes arguing and, you know, in questioning, interrogating whether Adam had a belly button or not. Does it make sense? Who cares? I don't know if you might have met these people. Like even Jesus Christ during his ministry also faced this. They come up with some weird questions that not required. It's not pertaining to life. They don't really have any questions. They just want argument. And so they become irrelevant because they don't address people's lives. He wants controversies. He has a morbid interest in controversies. Unhealthy craving. The reason Paul was adamant about these things is because they are irrelevant. They cannot address people's lives. They cannot change people's life. And it's so ironic. People want to be relevant. And then try to come up with these weird things. Some interesting, we'll do something interesting, you know. And then come up with these weird teachings. Unhealthy craving for controversies. So he lacks humility. So he's arrogant and he's irrelevant. And finally, verse 6. It says, verse 5. And constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved in truth. Because of this kind of false teaching, actually towards the end of verse 4 also, we see, which produce envy, dissension, slander. So since he has an unhealthy craving for controversies and quarrels about the words, they produced a group of people who had envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions and constant friction among the people. You see? So his teaching lacked fruit in the ministry. False teacher's ministry lacks fruit. He lacks fruit in the ministry. That's the final trait. Even Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 from verses 15 to 20, he said this, beware of false prophets or false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. And a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. You will recognize false teachers by their fruits. And what are the fruits that this person's ministry is producing? Envy. What is envy? Simple definition would be to want what belongs to someone else. Dissatisfaction. Desire for another's possessions. Covetousness. And that's what they create. Because this false teacher himself boasts in all the spiritual experiences, and then they get envy. Now I have to make up some other story to tell. Jesus himself told something when I went to heaven. You know, again, you know, you want that vision. Envy, dissension or strife. It's a strong word actually. It's an ongoing conflict. Strife is deeper than argument. God Questions defines strife as dissension is deeper than argument, broader than disagreement. Strife usually involves bitterness and sometimes violence. And it says slander. Slander is simply lying about someone else in intent to cause hurt to someone. Put someone in the negative light. And this is slander is lying. And God hates lying. And this is the group that the fruit of false teacher produces. And next false teacher's mark is that he will produce a group that is that has evil suspicions. And this does make sense. If you are engaging in envy, strife and slander of others, you will probably start looking at your, you know, other shoulders, you know, wondering what other people are thinking and suspicious about their motives. And you will create a group who don't trust one another. So he causes divisions. He causes divisions. Constant friction among people. Their false teaching will cause divisions. As I earlier mentioned, these people will talk about unity. These people will talk about unity, but they will lack unity. True unity. John 17, from verse 16 to 21, if you remember, Jesus Christ, a high priestly prayer, says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sake I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask on my behalf of this alone, but for those also who will believe me through their word, that they may also all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Everybody reads this verse passage and they'll focus on the last verse talking about unity, as Jesus said, "Father, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you sent me." They talk about this verse, they talk about the unity, but what mistake they made? They made the mistake of not reading the earlier verses where Jesus said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Without sanctification, no unity comes in the church. Unity comes through sanctification, and sanctification will happen through the word. A church that does not exalt word will not lead people into sanctification, actually, unholiness. There will be no unity. It will be fake unity. Until church finds the word, there will never be unity. Now the church is more divided. And as the church is more, we have, if you Google, we have nearly 33,000 denominations and all. Right? And as church is more divided, people want to constantly emphasize on unity. But if you emphasize on sanctification, if you all come under the Lordship of Christ, there will be unity. No matter whole world might try, this United Nations, all of them can try for world peace and all, unless they come under the Lordship of Christ, there won't be any unity. It is vain. Actually, if Psalm 2, if you read, they are actually turning against Christ. And one day, God will teach them the lesson. There won't be world peace without the gospel. Men who deny godliness do a tremendous disservice to the church, because they will cause dissensions, divisions in the church. Men who focus on godliness, sanctification, they will lead the church towards unity and towards Christ. Christ told, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, right? But these people are creating a group that is unrecognized. World cannot recognize that these people are believers. Why? Because they are also like world. They don't love one another. How will the world see that these are Christians? Because there is no real love, real unity. See? He causes divisions, but he also bears corruption. If you see, he says, constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Depraved in mind means that their mind is so corrupt, so disintegrated that they can't understand the truth. You tell them the truth, they cannot comprehend what you're saying. Their minds are so corrupt. Paul is saying that they can't comprehend the truth, which means that they are totally apostate. They are not believers they themselves. 1 Corinthians 2:14, a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Warren Wiersbe, commentator, he says, the tragedy of all this is that the people are robbed of the truth. While they think they are discovering the truth, they think that the weekly arguments in their meetings during which they exchange their ignorance are a means of growing in grace. Meanwhile, the result is a loss of character, not an improvement. But praise God, as Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice. His sheep knows how to discern what's false teaching and what's truth. And his sheep will follow Christ's words, not false teachers. Now, after considering all this, if these false teachers not burdened about the church, not burdened about the conduct of the church, godliness of the church, if they don't submit to the authority of the scriptures, submit to the authority of Lord Jesus Christ himself, then why are they in the church? Why are they ministering in the church? Why? Paul says, godliness is a means of gain. They want money. Why do you think Judas was with Jesus Christ? For the money back. Pharisees, they were lovers of money, Jesus said. They are there for money. So all those prosperity gospel preachers who preach that you give me, God will bless you, they will end up in hell. They are apostate teachers. As I conclude, how can we fight against this false teaching? How can we know and how can we actually guard ourselves? If you know the truth, then you don't have to learn all the false teachings in the world. Hold on to the sound doctrine. Read word. Study for yourself. Listen to godly teachers. Equip yourself. And you will be able to see what is fake and what is true. Who is false teacher and who is faithful preacher. Unless you hold on to the truth, unless you go to the scriptures, unless you study the scriptures, you won't be able to identify the false teachers. So I'd encourage all of you to read your Bibles. Read profitably. And even as head of the families, fathers, teach your children the truth. Be responsible Christians and hold on to the sound doctrine. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you. Just want to thank you for this word. You are God of truth and you've given us this truth. Help us to put ourselves under the authority of scriptures. Irrespective of who says what, help us to follow your word, Father. I pray for all those who are still struggling to submit themselves to scriptures. You give them understanding. You work in their hearts. I pray that you break their pride, humble themselves. I pray that you will bless CCC with discernment. Help each member in the church to be spiritually awake, alert, and be discerning in listening to God's word. Help us to discipline ourselves, to read scriptures, to hold on to the truth, and to live by it, obey it. Bless us. In Christ Jesus' name.